ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। निगमकल्पतरुर्गलितं फलं शुकमुकतमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबत भगवतं रसमलयं मुहुरको रसिका भुवि बभुक्कः। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पश्चात्यादेशतारिणे वंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितनं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम Rama Rama Kare Kare. We're starting a new chapter today, chapter 16th, entitled A Description of Jambudvip. I read the summary of the chapter and text number 1, which is written in prose, therefore it's not on the board. While describing the character of Maharaj Priyavrata and his descendants, Shukadeva Goswami also described Meru Mountain and the planetary system known as Bhumandala. Bhumandala is like a lotus flower, and its seven islands are compared to the world of the lotus. The place known as Jambudvip is in the middle of that wall. In Jambudvip, there is a mountain known as Sumeru, which is made of solid gold. The height of this mountain is 84,000 yojanas, of which 16,000 yojanas are below the earth. Its width is estimated to be 32,000 yojanas. At its summit, and 16,000 yojanas at its foot. One yojana equals approximately 8 miles. You can make your calculations if you like. This king of mountains, Sumeru, is the support of the planet Earth. On the southern side of the land known as Ilavrita Varsha are the mountains known as Imavan, Hemakuta, and Nishadha. And on the northern side are the mountains Nila, Shveta, and Shringa. Similarly, on the eastern and western side, there are Malyavan and Gandhamadana, two large mountains. Surrounding Sumeru Mountain are four mountains known as Mandara, Meru Mandara, Suparshva, and Kumuda. Each 10,000 yojanas long and 10,000 yojanas high. So that's 80,000 miles long, 80,000 miles high. That's what it's saying, yojanas. On these four mountains, there are trees 1,100 yojanas high. A mango tree, a rose apple tree, a kadamba tree, and a banyan tree. Maybe we should arrange an excursion to this place and see, right? Sightseeing. Sometimes people like to go sightseeing. They come to Belgium and they go to Bruges for sightseeing, right? So we can go to sightseeing around the universe and then see these places. But for devotees, it may not be the best idea to do too much sightseeing. Otherwise, you get distracted and get lost once more in the material world. There are also lakes full of milk, honey, sugarcane juice, and pure water. Here we have salty water. In some places there is pure water. You can drink that water. Well, these are lakes, but okay, oceans, lakes. These lakes can fulfill all desires. There are also gardens named Nandana, Chitrarata, Vaibrajaka, and Sarvatobhadra. On the side of Suparshva mountain is a kadamba tree with streams of honey flowing from its hollows. And on Kumuda mountain, there is a banyan tree named Shatavalsha, from whose roots flow rivers containing milk, yogurt, and many other desirable things. Surrounding Sumeru mountain, like filaments of the wall of a lotus, are 20 mountain ranges, such as Kuranga, Kurara, Kushumba, Vaikanka, and Trikuta. To the east of Sumeru are the mountains Yatara and Devakuta. To the west are Pavana and Pariyatra. To the south are Kailas and Karavira. And to the north are Trishringa and Makara. These eight mountains are about 18,000 yojanas long, 2,000 yojanas wide, and 2,000 yojanas high. On the summit, On the summit of Mount Sumeru is Brahmapuri, the residence of Lord Brahma. Each of its four sides is 10,000 yojanas long. Surrounding Brahmapuri are the cities of King Indra and seven other demigods. These cities are 1/4 the size of Brahmapuri. Text 1. Rajo vacha uktastvaya bhumandalayama visesho yavat adityas tapatiyatra chasav jyotisham ganaish chandrama va sahadrishyate. King Parikshit said to Shukadeva Goswami, O Brahmana, you have already informed me that the radius of Bhumandala extends as far as the sun spreads its light and heat, and as far as the moon and all the stars can be seen. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, it is stated that the planetary system known as Bhumandala extends to the limits of the sunshine. According to modern science, the sunshine reaches Earth from a distance of 93 million miles. If we calculate according to this modern information, 93 million miles can be considered the radius of Bhumandala. In the Gayatri Mantra, we chant Om Bhur Bhuvasva. The word Bhur refers to Bhumandala. Tat Savitur Varenyam. The sunshine spreads throughout Bhumandala. Therefore, the sun is worshipable. The stars, which are known as nakshatra, are not different suns, as modern astronomers suppose. From Bhagavad Gita 10.21, we understand that the stars are similar to the moon. Nakshatranam aham shashi. Like the moon, the stars reflect the sunshine. Apart from our modern distinguished estimations of where the planetary systems are located, we can understand that the sky and its various planets were studied long, long before. Srimad Bhagavatam was long before Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled. Sukadeva Goswami explained the location of the planets, and this indicates that the information was known long before Sukadeva Goswami related it to Maharaj Parikshit. The location of the various planetary systems was not unknown to the sages who flourished in the Vedic age. So what do you think when you hear these descriptions? A mountain 10,000 yojanas, 80,000 miles high. What do you think about that? Inconceivable. Inconceivable for our present dimension of life. Right? 80,000 miles. I mean, how many times that's, if we calculate according to our present way of measuring, how many times going around the earth? Anyone knows how long it takes to go around the earth? Fourteen? 40,000 kilometers. So that's a mountain which is the circling the earth twice plus, because miles are longer than kilometers. So it will be twice, more than twice, that will be the height of the mountain. I will not get too much into cosmology and astronomy in detail, because it's not my specialization. For that we will need someone like Sadaputta Prabhu, who unfortunately is not anymore present in physical form. We have his book, his analysis of Vedic cosmology, and there are different ways of explaining it. Different devotee scholars who have studied these subjects have given different explanations. We can reflect on it a little bit. For example, for an ant, imagine an ant living in this castle. for an ant to calculate what's happening in Belgium and how Belgium is organized, and the biggest, I don't know what is the biggest building in Belgium, but there must be some skyscrapers here. Are there any? Yes. Not so much. It's a flat country. Anyway, but any big building, the biggest building, to calculate what is the dimension of that building is inconceivable. Isn't it? How can the ant? The ant may develop some anti-technological developments, like, right? Some telescopes for the ants, and we'll be doing research in many different ways. And we'll try to travel as far as possible within Belgium. But how far can reach that process of research? Will not go very far. And many things will remain inconceivable. Similarly, for human beings to try to understand the universe as it is inconceivable, and it will be relative to our perception, our instruments of perception, the senses, which are limited according to the type of body one has. For example, Brahma has a type of body which will allow him to conceive the whole universe. The Bhagavatam says, as someone who has a walnut in his hand, he can understand what's happening. He can understand the walnut. Isn't it? If you have a walnut, you can examine it, you can open it, look inside how it is, cut it, and even this, we cannot fully understand what's inside. So in one sense, we could say that even Brahma has limitations in fully understanding. But obviously his capacity to conceive the universe is thousands and thousands of times bigger than our capacity. Our capacity is insignificant, and therefore we say these descriptions are inconceivable. But the fact that something is inconceivable to us does not disprove it. It may mean simply that we don't have the capacity to reach out and to truly understand it. Due to limitations, like one person is able to lift a certain amount of weight, a human being. An elephant can lift a bigger amount of weight. So similarly, to understand the universe, we need descriptions coming from the creator of the universe. And this is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is none different from Krishna and is giving us insights into the world, into Krishna, actually it's revealing his personality and his energies. And we are understanding Krishna through his energies. We cannot understand Krishna directly, immediately. We need to approach him gradually through his energies. This is the process described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Like, for example, this fifth canto is defined by many acharyas as the canto which describes the planetary systems. There are 10 topics in Srimad Bhagavatam. Who can remember the topics? Let's look at the topics one by one. What are the topics of the Bhagavatam? Creation, sub-creation or secondary creation, lines, genealogical lines are there, yes, that will be Mamantara, could be in that context, will be Mamantara, the lines of the Manus, who are the fathers of humanity. The incarnations of Krishna or Ishanukata, the descriptions of the Lord and his devotees. Atra sargo visargascha stanam poshanam uttaya mamvantare shanukata niroddo mukti rashraya. These are the 10 topics. So we said 4. The planetary system, stanam, this is portion is maintenance or the protection of the Lord towards his devotees. So the Lord is, that maintenance is actually protecting the devotees. The world is ultimately made for the benefit of the conditioned souls. Liberation. Summum bonum, the supreme truth. The ashraya, or the supreme shelter, the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. We said so far, atra sargo visargascha stanam poshanam uttaya uti. Creative impetus, the desire of the living being, which is what makes the Lord to create the universe. In one way, I mean, it's one way of explaining it. It was all together, but because we desire to enjoy separately from the Lord, then the Lord manifests the material universe in the same way that adult people establish companies of toys, to produce toys, because children want to play. Because the children want to play, the factories of toys exist. It's not the other way around. There is first in creative impetus, the desire. So we said, did we cover them all? Nirodha means annihilation. Annihilation of the universe, annihilation of the conditioning of the living entity. So this fifth canto sometimes is described as the canto which refers to the planetary systems. Although Srila Jiva Goswami in his Tattva Sandarbha describes that all the different topics are found throughout all the cantos. So there are these two explanations. One explanation is that each canto, starting from number 3, corresponds to one of these topics in successive order, as have been described at the end of the second canto. The first two cantos are like introductions to the Bhagavatam. And they say the third canto corresponds to creation, fourth canto to secondary creation, fifth canto to the planetary systems. And if we look at it, we see that in one way it's true, it's a fact. Like planetary systems, it makes sense. There are so many descriptions of places to live within the material world. This is like the, what do you call it in English? Immobiliaria in Spanish. Sometimes I mix the thinking when practical things of this world. The agency for housing, how you call it? Real estate agency, thank you. So it is just like, it looks like, appears to be a real estate agency. Where can you live in this material world? But it is actually not exactly like that, because Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us where we should get out from. All these places, we should give them up. And we should go back to the spiritual world. This is ultimately the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, is to take the souls who are ripe, sufficiently mature in this world, take them back home, back to Godhead. And all The Bhagavatam says that the different topics, the first nine topics, are described in order to illuminate the tenth topic, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Shelter. Svashrayashraya, he's the shelter of the shelter. The material world is described as Durashraya, a bad shelter. It is like if there is a very, very heavy storm and we take shelter under a tree. Like last year when I went to visit Satrarup Maharaj to America, he's staying in upstate New York. Viraha Bhavan is the name of his ashram. And the storm was coming in that direction. And they were announcing that it was actually not a storm, but a hurricane. So it was very, very dangerous. I arrived just one day before the hurricane. It was announced at the airport, and we were getting ready for it. Fortunately, when it reached there, it had diminished category. But if a hurricane comes, we cannot take shelter under a tree. Can you? You can. Okay, you can take shelter in Vrindavan under a tree, a desire tree in Vrindavan, and maybe you go back home, back to Godhead. I mean, you are already in home in Vrindavan, but you quit your body and it's finished with this existence in this world. But it's a bad shelter. We need a shelter which is more solid, a real shelter. So Sri Krishna is the real shelter. He's the shelter of all shelter. Svashrayashraya. So the planetary systems are described, we could say why the planetary systems are described. They are described to broaden our perspective of Krishna's creation, of Krishna's energies. They are described to show us that it doesn't matter where we go in this material world, always there will be problems, there will be limitations, difficulties, and also to show us how planet Earth is insignificant compared to the universe, to Krishna's energies. And also to show us that all these planets are actually a mirage. The example is given, the example of the dream in regard to material existence is given frequently throughout the Bhagavatam. Sometimes the question of the famous question of the fall of the jiva, where do we come from? Goloka, Tathashta Shakti, Brahma Jyoti, Mahavishnu. So many different explanations are given by different scholars trying to understand the truth on the basis of their tiny brains, many times unable to reconcile the apparently contradictory explanations of different Vaishnavacharyas. So that question appears in the Bhagavatam several times, and the answer is given that it is actually like a person who is dreaming. So what we see in the dream is real and yet not real. It's real, we're having an experience, there is energy there, but that is not real. So similarly, the material world is real because it is Krishna's energies, it's part of Krishna's energies, but yet it is unreal in that whatever we experience from the point of view of the pure self, it's Maya, it's an illusion. It has not permanent existence. So the Bhagavatam is teaching us that the planetary systems are not places to live. All these planetary systems are not the place where to remain. The real sthiti, the real situation, sthanam means a place to stay. I know the Sanskrit is what I understand a little bit. So it's a place to stay. Where do you become sthiti, situated? Where are you grounded? Where are your roots? Are your roots in a particular place? In this material world, our roots are not real. We think we are very rooted in a particular place, in a particular family, in a particular country, in a particular culture. But any time we can be uprooted by material nature, by the circumstances of life. Like so many people in so many wars around the world, the latest one, maybe it's not the latest, I'm not so fast in reading the news, but one of the latest, if not the latest, Syria. What's happening in Syria? So many people leaving the place. So people with their roots are uprooted due to the miserable conditions of material life, of the material universe. And this may happen to us anytime. We don't know. We think we are secure in Belgium, but we don't really know. Belgium was a place of war. And this very place, which has been transformed into a transcendental place of worship of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, it's a place where it was a hospital during the Second World War. There was a hospital here, an emergency hospital. The castle was here because there were battles fought nearby. Isn't it? I have been told that. And if we go up the hill in some places, there are even monuments to the people who died during the Second World War. So many people were uprooted from this very place. And this is the nature of the material world. And even if we seem to be very rooted in a place, like the Kapha people, according to Ayurveda, Kapha people don't like to move too much. I have a devotee brother, he's temple president in Barcelona for 20 years. And he does not travel much. So, different nature. I am always traveling. I'm in one place, always moving from one place to another. And he doesn't travel much. So, he's Kapha people, a person according to psychophysical nature. So, they don't like to move much. But even if someone doesn't move, stays all life in the same place, finally we are uprooted by material nature. Death will come and will take us away. So our situation in the material world is not rooted. These are not our real roots. The roots of the soul are when we wake up and we are with Krishna in the spiritual world, performing pastimes, serving Him according to our eternal relationship with Him. This is our real root, or these are our real roots. And the Bhagavatam is telling us that this place, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur stated, this is not a place to stay for a gentleman or a lady. Like the toilet. It doesn't matter how beautiful you make the toilet. No civilized person will remain living in the toilet room. Isn't it? You can set up TV, so many nice things, but who will live there? It's a place to do what you need to do. It's a place for cleaning. That in Spanish, my mother tongue, we say a place for cuarto de aseo, means a room for cleaning, to get rid of the dirt. So it's a place to become purified. And therefore, all these descriptions are given. So many different planets, Bhumandala, our planetary system, we're shown that we cannot even understand our own house, where are we living? And then hellish planets will be described, and some heavenly regions where mango trees, there is this big mango trees, and they produce gigantic fruits, which produce rivers. The juice transforms into rivers, and from the juice, gold becomes manifest. From the juice in contact with the river banks, gold is deposited there. Many wonderful descriptions are given, but ultimately all these descriptions are part of the illusory energy of the Lord, part of Lord Mahavishnu's dream, Yoga Nidra. He's creating his dream, he's creating this material world, and then we are part of his dream. And we are dreaming and thinking that we are him, trying to enjoy the dream. But actually, our constitutional position, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, is to serve the Lord. Sabai pum samparo dharmo yato bhakti radokshaye ahaitukiya pratihata jayatma suprasidati. We will not be satisfied until we reach his lotus feet. Until we go back home, back to Godhead, like Srila Sanatana Goswami describes in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which is actually one kind of commentary of the Bhagavatam. It's based on Srimad Bhagavatam, and we can understand better the Bhagavatam by studying Sanatana Goswami's work. Very soon we will have the Chaitanya Vaishnava literature course, and one of the authors we are discussing is Sri Sanatana Goswami, particularly Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So in Brihat Bhagavatamrita it is explained how Gopa Kumar, the cowherd boy from Govardhan, couldn't be satisfied until he went back to Goloka Vrindavan. He was not even satisfied in the Vaikuntha planets. What to speak of places within the material world? What to speak of Indra Loka, Svarga? What to speak of Bauma, the earth, Bhumandala? He was not satisfied. He was always seeking, searching for his real home, his real roots. And he found his roots in Goloka Vrindavan. When he met Sri Krishna, when Sri Krishna came from the pasturing grounds playing his flute, and Krishna embraced him, remembering him, that he had returned, remembering his name, Sarupa, his original name in the spiritual world. Thank you very much for listening patiently. If you like to ask questions or make comments, please do so. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This reminds me of a point which yesterday we had a brief discussion with Gopinath Acharya Prabhu. When I read the verse, I said, what a verse. I mean, this is to talk about the universe, what to speak. And then Gopinath Acharya mentioned one point from going from the stula, the Bhagavatam shows us, and now I will read the verse he showed me, very nice verse, at the end of the description of the hellish planets. The description is given that by meditating in the stula creation of the Lord, the universal form, stula means gross creation, we can go from the gross creation to the sukshma. The sukshma is the subtle dimensions. So these are your point reminds me of this very good point. How to move from going from the gross elements, and this is actually tantra. Tantra means going from the tanmatras, from the gross elements, by using the objects of the senses, what we perceive, and applying in Krishna's service through sadhana bhakti, through devotional service, for example, in deity worship, we can go to the transcendental world, from the gross to the subtle. So by meditating on the universal form of the Lord and seeing the presence of the Lord in that energy, we can connect with Him in the spiritual world, in the transcendental world. And this is Krishna's mercy. He always gives us the opportunity to connect with Him. He's always available for us. And we can do it in any condition of life. Srila Prabhupada also compares deity worship to the meditation on the universal form in several purposes. Because also the Archa Murti, the form of the Lord for worship, is the Lord Himself who very mercifully has accepted to be present personally in the material elements. So there is that parallel that the Lord is present in the material elements. So He's present also in the universal form. And we can see Him if we cultivate love. If we see through the eyes of love, as much as a mother will see the little shoes of the baby and will not see the shoes, but will see the baby. The shoes will be relevant because belong to the baby. So these energies are relevant because they belong to the Lord. Because the Lord is the provider. He's giving us all our needs. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovidadatikaman. He's providing all our needs, starting from the gross material to our more subtle needs, emotional, to our real needs, the needs of the self, the needs of divine love, of pure devotional service. By arranging our lives in such a way that we will meet Him. We will meet His devotees. Other comments or questions? Good, very good. Yes, that's named Satkarya Bada, and the Bhagavatam will, Janmadhya Sayataha will agree with that. And also Parinama Bada is described in the Bhagavatam, how actually the Krishna's energies is the Lord Himself who has become transformed. So he is His energy, and yet he remains aloof from His energy. Veda Abeda, different from His energies, and yet non-different. The personality of God that has expanded as material nature. And therefore, by meditating on his universal form, we are meditating on him, especially when we remember that this form is actually, ultimately, God. The personality of Godhead is present there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.